owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Welcome to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Today's show is absolutely, I think, can guarantee you're going to be a hoot. You're not going to want to miss it. Stick around. Now, as most of you know, because I never served in the military, I consider it my duty to support those who do and who have. I've done the best I can over the past, three decades, including producing this radio show for nearly 8 years now. Every group has posers, but frankly, I never gave it much thought. As my mom would say, consider the source. But as I interacted more with members of our military and became more deeply ingrained with their traditions and sacrifices, my patience for posers reduced inversely to how better I got to know members of the military. So much so that I became uber vigilant and sensitive to the way that I represent myself. Many years ago, my brother, who's an Air Force veteran, gave me one of his old BDU coats with his name strip still on the chest. Now, Bueller Garcia is not a common name. In fact, to the best of my knowledge, only four of us in the world bear it. I thought it was cool, and after all, the coat was comfortable. It was warm. I would wear it out on occasion until one particularly chilly day I was at a store shopping, and they gave me the military discount. I insisted they reprocess the purchase. Now, I love my brother, but I put that coat in the closet, and I've never worn it again. It's natural when one spends so much time with a certain class of people, you adopt some of their mannerisms and phrases. This sometimes causes people to make assumptions, but I'm always careful to correct any misconceptions, whether they come from veterans or civilians, that I never served. I did not earn that honor, and I certainly didn't earn any benefits. For a long time, I considered those who pretended to be a mere annoyance. Frankly, I felt sorry for them. That was until we had B.G. Burkett, the author of Stolen Valor and a driving force behind the National Stolen Valor Act legislation, on the show. Prepping for B.G. Burkett's interview led me to a guy by the name of Dom Shipley. Now, ever since I've been doing the radio show, I tell you, there's a number of people I've always wanted to have on the show. Consider them my top draft picks. Still working on Tom Hanks, but Don Shipley is definitely in the top five, and I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled, to have him joining us today. Don served in 8 SEAL platoons, was a platoon chief in 5. Among his awards, the Navy and Marine Corps Medal, the highest non-combat decoration for heroism awarded by the Navy. Don retired at the rank of Senior Chief Petty Officer in 2003 after 24 years of service. Don, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Well, thanks for having me on. I heard a great story from your producer about the temperature out in Arizona, and I was badly hurt in Yuma in my first SEAL platoon by the heat. I mean, badly hurt. And as I laid there suffering from heat exhaustion, my platoon commander said, "If you don't get up, I'm going to shoot you." And I got up because he had that look, and I somehow got out, but the on my own, but that heat exhaustion out there, boy, that was really, really tough.
Well, that's a little bit of motivation. I tell you, both for our Tucson listeners and our Phoenix listeners, yeah, this is that time of year. Now, Don, I tell you, I am so excited about this, but I also want to tell you, you know, part of the fun of your videos is the, I'll just call it sailor talk that you and Diane use, but I can't tell you how much I want to keep doing the show, so let's practice a little bit. Knucklehead, dingus, crud bag, gosh darn. We got it?
You know, I could spend a month in a convent and never even utter the word crap. So I'm good. I can turn it on and turn it off. I use it like Patton did to motivate and inspire to get your attention. But I think I'll be fine on here with you.
All right.
I appreciate the word of caution, though.
No worries. Now, Don, a little bit about you. You joined the Navy in and I got this off the interwebs, Don, so who knows if it's true or not. You Navy in 78, graduated Bud Class 131 in 1984. Why the Navy and why the SEAL teams, Don?
Well, my father was an Air Force fighter pilot and turned commercial airline captain. And anybody that knows anything about fighter pilots, they have a swag. They're aware of the highway, and my dad, and I was the oldest son. He was a bit hard on me, and I rated it, trust me. And one day I was watching the Brady Bunch or something, and it says, whatever he was after me about was going in one ear and right out the other. And the next thing, a commercial came on. It's still on YouTube today. I found it, and it said Dawn Launch, Sea of Japan, flight deck of the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise, and this jet taking off. And I went up, and I said, I got to go do something. And I got in my car. I was young, 17. I wasn't doing well in school. I wasn't a bad kid, but I was just spinning my wheels. And I sat down with a recruiter, and I came back a couple of days after that and sat down with him and my mother, and I said, I'm joining the Navy. And I thought he was going to fall out of his chair. He laughed so hard. And he said, they'll never take you. And I said, sign right here. I leave in 3 days. So I joined the Navy reluctantly. They signed the papers, but I wasn't going anywhere. I dropped out of school, and I never looked back. It was the smartest move I ever made. I knew there was a big world out there. I get easily distracted, and I wanted to see it and got my education in there. And, I joined the Navy for that.
What was your discipline? You know, I talked about how I use the right terms, and here I am blowing it. But when you first went in, Don, what did you do before you decided that the Buds was for you?
I was the lowest possible thing you could be in the Navy. I was an undesignated, uneducated deck ape on a ship. And I got pushed around to do everything, but it was a lot of fun, a lot of painting. And I was stationed in Japan, so all over Singapore, Australia. I just, the Philippines, Thailand, you name it, and just boozing it up, having a great time with my shipmates. And I learned a lot. I grew up in the Navy. I owe everything to it. So that was my it wasn't until I transferred off of that ship. I spent about 3 years on that ship in Japan, and I transferred to San Diego for my next assignment. And that was a submarine tender, and it had women on it. And we all thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, women. Well, we didn't think that was too cool for very long. But I think there were 800 men on there and 100 women. And I met the prettiest one on there and wound up marrying her. And one of us had to leave the ship, and I got assigned to Coronado. I drove a salt craft, you know, that landed on the beach. And I remember asking somebody, who are those guys? And they said, those guys becoming SEALs. And I had to go, what is a SEAL? You know, back then, there were no books about SEALs. There were no movies about SEALs. You heard rumors in the Navy, and that was about it. And now everybody knows what a SEAL is. And that has, when I became a SEAL in 85, I used to tell people I was a diver, which was the truth. You know, we're Navy divers as SEALs, but it was easier than getting somebody asking you, and you go, well, I'm a SEAL, and they get that dumb look on their face, and they go, what's a SEAL, man?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew. Now it's a household word, and unfortunately that gets exploited a little bit, and why, you know, I'm on your show, but...
Well, you're on my show for lots of other reasons. I mean, I have lots of, you're right, I have lots of SEALs on the show. None like Don Shipley. I feel comfortable saying that. Now, it's almost kind of a family. You mentioned your lovely wife, Diane, who next to my wife, Laura, is probably the most patient woman in the world, apparently. But it's also sort of a family business. Your son, if I'm not mistaken, Don, also joined the teams?
Yep, son-in-law, daughter, married one, and big happy family. So, everybody, all my friends, and now I live up here on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and I have my hunting buddies that, so.
Okay, Don, we're going to take a quick break. I want to leave you with something, though, because I respect you so much, and just, you know, complete disclosure, and I don't want you to get into a hole you can't get out of, even though you're a Navy SEAL. You need to know, I'm the only person who has served as a SEAL and with Delta Force and on MARSOC. I was an astronaut. And I'll tell you confidentially, I was also the fifth member of the Beatles. That's double super top secret classified. The only one who knows about it, the president, and two aliens currently residing in Area 51. So chew on that. We'll be right back. Folks, this is Ben Bueller Garcia, joined by Don Shipley. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. I'm joined by serial Navy SEAL exposure, Don Shipley. Don, I left you with sort of a tease before the break, and I realize, sir, that If I was half as funny as I thought I was, I could run a website called ExtremeSealExperience.com, but I'm not, so I'm going to leave it to the professionals like you. My apologies.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And the reason I say that is when you watch those videos, Don, so often one of the excuses that these posers, these fakers come up with is it's classified. Only the president knows that. What was the impetus that moved you and Diane to actually start doing this? I mean, it's a mission. It's a passion for you. What first got you started going down this path, sir?
Well, there were a lot of reasons for it, but one is we were approached by a guy on the internet, a very generous guy, would donate weapons to our training course. He said he admired the work that I was doing with kids with cancer. He was upset with the Red Cross. He wanted to donate to us, and he was a wounded Marine. He was shot down in Panama and all stitched up in the belly. His head was crushed, and it turned out after he spent a few days with us in our course, and I highlighted him as a hero to all those young guys that were going through Extreme SEAL Experience, you know, this military-style training course, that he was a fraud. He was a gate guard in Nairobi, and he got his kicks suing the VA for being lumpy. And the guy had a lot of problems, and we didn't know who he was, who had been on our computer. Who was that my wife caught folding her underwear in the house and my daughter's stuff? And I went after him, and he just got released from prison. He went there for 3 years for wire fraud. He was defrauded the VA, getting extraordinary payments for an injury that never happened. There were no helicopters shot down in Panama. He was not there. But that's the big problem with the VA today, veterans frauding the VA. And they got him for that.
Don, I mentioned B.G. Burkett. I don't know if you and B.G. have ever had a chance to meet or talk. So, I mean, clearly the fraud is something that all of us as civilians should be concerned about. But as a military person, as a veteran yourself, what's the other underlying issue for you? I mean, if someone tells me they're a radio host and they're not, I don't care. But for you, it's different, I would guess.
It's the way they make the military represent. It's the lies they tell and the reason they tell them. I'm upset. I did my best yesterday to get through to a young woman who asked me about her husband being a SEAL, and I said no. And then she just kind of moved on with that through the email that, well, I've seen his Purple Heart. He must have got it some. Well, you're not probably going to get that if you're not a SEAL. And, his other awards for valor. And she said, I feel so bad. Thank you for fitting this one piece together. I can't stand watching his night terrors and from PTSD. And I hear that it's like these guys are all on the same playbook. It's all the classified stuff, but the one big one they do are the night terrors. And that guy is wide awake and faking these screaming episodes and crying and sobbing to people and doing my best with her. But she'll contact me back a few years from now and go, my God, I don't know who this is I'm sleeping next to. The duping the women, the dating dating websites, defrauding other veterans, you with that, the military discount that you talked about in your uniform, those guys all want to get their free meal at Arby's on Veterans Day and line up for that. And, they get the Home Depot 10%. It's really, they cheat a lot of people. And then when you tell some, especially a SEAL, we are the number one targeted group in this nation professionally. It's not crab fishermen. It's not police officers. It's not brain surgeons. It's Navy SEALs. And when I don't get it because I was one, when you tell someone you're a Navy SEAL, it instantly builds trust. You're like, wow, you're the most trustworthy guy on the planet. You're a SEAL. I don't get it, but they exploit that. And here it comes. You are about to get rammed.
Don, how bad is this? I mean, I've read you were doing up to 20 to 50 of these verifications a day. Sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes when they'd kill Bin Laden or the Somali pirates, I couldn't get through the email. It was over 50 a day. Those days still happen when something good happens in SEAL Team, something bad happens in SEAL Team. Everybody comes out of the kind of the woodwork with that. But it's Facebook, it's YouTube, it's comments, it's phone calls, it's email, it's the verifications that come through the website. And, yeah, it's bad. I tell you, Navy SEALs are the number one targeted guys, but when those phonies want to play dress-up, they go for those Marine Corps dress blues every time.
Sure, sure.
And what? The SEALs turn into Marines, you know, on Veterans Day for the parade. They love that uniform. So,
what, Don, does a little dose of reality. Over in the history, I want to correct me if I'm wrong, but since 43, how many SEALs or their predecessors have there actually been? How many real SEALs are actually around right now? Approximately,
our training probably has currently about 19,000 guys since 1943 that went through any form of Navy combat demolition units, the OSS maritime units, scouts and raiders, underwater demolition, and then ultimately SEAL team in 61. And of those, we believe there's fewer than 10,000 guys alive. We had a lot of underwater demolition team guys in World War II. Those guys are unfortunately dying off, the Korea vets, the Vietnam vets, training accidents, combat, and, you know, 2,500 of those guys are on active duty. So your chances of bumping into a living, breathing Navy SEAL are about as good as sitting next on an airplane next to President Obama in a coach seat.
Good comparison.
Yeah.
I want you to tell some of these stories, Don, because some of them, you know, they run from the outright fraud to just, like I said, things that just, I almost feel sorry for them. And I want you to tell some of those stories when we come back after the break. But what do you have any insight into the psychology of these folks? Are they glory hounds?
They are ashamed of something they did. 95-97% of these guys, when we pull their records, which I can do in a few hours, we see they had a bad run in the military. And it's a term you can search called the hero syndrome, and that's unfortunately loosely associated with firefighters who start fires themselves because of something in their past. They have to be first on the scene. They have to be the hero. And these guys were dishonorably discharged. Their final duty station was the brig at Miramar. They never made it out of boot camp. And years later, it haunts them. So to compensate for that shame, they turn themselves into something respectable. It's no excuse. They know it isn't right. And they do a terrible amount of damage. So.
Don, Ben gets a dumb question every show. And one of the powerful, you've got a number of tools in your toolbox, I should say, maybe weapons are a better word in this context, not just your experience and your knowledge, but you've got this database that very few people have access to. So the short, Ben's dumb short question is, if you didn't graduate BUDS, you're not a Navy SEAL, period, correct? Or not
right.
Always?
No, you have to have gone through that training program, and that's where I really get these guys when I start grilling them a little bit about their class. You know, I had a guy, we just posted him up, class 255. Well, what year did that graduate? Well, it was 2001. No, it was 2005. And, you know, I can see everybody that graduated. I can see all their ranks. I can see how they progressed through their SEAL career. So, you know, I can ask, you know, how many guys graduated? He said 18. No, it was 23. And then, you know, I know who your class officer was. I know how, especially the foreign guys. That's a really good one because that's many guys' first experience with anybody of a foreign country. And we have, I had two Thais and two Singapore guys that I will never forget that went through my class. And I can see all the foreign guys they've had. And did you have any foreign guys in the class? Well, no, we didn't. Oh, yes, you did. You know, so I toy with them a lot. And people ask me, I'll do it real quick for you, bro, but how many guys have I called that were actually legit Navy SEALs? And that answer is none. I already know you're a phony before I contact you and I get the story out of you. So.
Yeah, well, and that answers one of the other questions I had. Thank you for that. I tell you, there's, and I don't know if it was Diane or you, something I saw, Don, that one of the hardest things in this mission of yours is, you know, sometimes you'll get contacted by a family member and they've got a relative who's passed, and they're asking you for some SEALs to be the honor guard or pallbearers at this person's funeral, and you're the one that's got to inform them, I'm sorry, ma'am, that, you know, that story your husband was telling you was not true.
I just did it yesterday to a daughter of a Vietnam vet patrol boat guy. PBR in Brown Water Navy that a friend of his in that Brown Water Navy had become a SEAL, and they had lost contact, and her dad's sick, and she discovered that that guy, through the internet search, had died, and found out he had died from Agent Orange. I love that one. And I had to tell her that guy was never a SEAL. And she was astounded by that. So I'm sure her father was told by him that he was a SEAL. And all these years later, you know, find out, well, he is actually dead. And his obituary says SEAL, and he was never a SEAL. So it's tough. There was one yesterday. I've been dealing with this one. The mother and son are on the front page of the local newspaper holding up their dad's hat with a big trident on it. He died of COVID-19. And an American flag. And the story was that his helicopter in Vietnam was hit by an RPG, and it killed everyone on board. And he pulled the dead pilot out of his seat, and he flew the airplane to safety. And they believed that. I mean, why would Daddy lie about all this, you know? And where does that come from? It comes from Rambo 2, where he rescues the POWs. And you see all these scenes come from movies, from Apocalypse Now, because in their little pea brains, it's easy to memorize that storyline that they saw, and they mold it into their own.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like you said. Now, what, 60, 75, 100 guys were the ones that shot bin Laden. Don, we come back. I'd like you to tell us some more of those stories, because that, to tell you, part of the charm of your videos is telling these stories, and it just makes make me shake my head. Now, where can people find this? I mentioned Extreme SEAL Experience. I mean, they can just Google fake SEALs and your names that come up, but where should we send them, Don?
Well, as most people know, I was dishonorably discharged from YouTube when I went after that Native American that was protesting, claiming to be a Vietnam vet. And my new channel is former Buds131 up on YouTube. But I usually just tease guys to try to get them to my video website, which is videos.extremesealexperience.com or phonyseals.com, or you can just search Don Shipley videos. You can search fake SEAL videos, and you'll find me. It's a private membership website, and I post up all the dirty work that I do up there now, so YouTube doesn't take them down.
Well, and folks, people go check this out, because you'll get some of the, I'll just say the charm that you won't get here on the radio today. Folks, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, joined by Don Shipley. I tell you, Don, one of my favorite lines, you know, I talk about a guy's had a couple bottles of loudmouth at the VFW. I love that. I hope to use that someday. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back with more from Don Shipley. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Don Shipley. Don is one of my favorite interweb people out there. Got some great videos, and also doing some great things, not just for maintaining the integrity and honor of Navy SEALs and other real military veterans out there, but we're also going to chat a little bit more about what he's doing for some kids out there and other veterans. Don, you're an expert. You know how to pick it right off the bat. There are some cases, though, and I'm a civilian. I mean, you know, literally a guy's got to be wearing a Boy Scout merit badge on his dress uniform before it jumps out at me. But there are occasions sometimes where you see these guys, they're wearing the trident, they've got a green beret patch on, all this stuff that's not real. But sometimes they're, and I use it for example, Dr. Richard Carmona, he Green Beret in Vietnam, enlisted, but then when he was appointed the Attorney General, the Surgeon General, he earned the rank of Vice Admiral. So I guess technically he could wear a Green Beret tab on his Nate. Well, I don't know. How often do people actually have those two sorts of disciplines in their background?
Oh, it's happened not on a number of occasions. I have a SEAL doctor friend that he didn't like the program the Navy was going to give him to become a physician, but the Army had a better program that was going to better suit him. And through that, he wound up being in Special Forces. I've interviewed him a few times. And so the Navy SEAL, the Army Special Forces, it's going to be something dynamic of what they do. People don't get out of the SEAL team and go be a grunt in the Marine Corps or a grunt in the Army. They're going to another branch of special forces. They're going from a SEAL team to Delta Force. I've just verified that one sergeant major at least 100 times for people. And don't ask me his name, but he was a SEAL, and then he went to Delta Force, and he's just a walking patent 10 times over, and people can't believe, you know, the claims. So it does happen. The Army has some wonderful programs. We lost a number of SEALs to the Army helicopter enlisted program. Guys would leave the Navy and become an Army helicopter pilot. And we lost a couple of SEALs to the Army chaplain program, believe it or not.
Well, that's interesting.
Commissions them to become officers. Guys are always looking to do one thing or another. And we've had a few guys that have gone to the astronaut program and things like that. And it's just they're always trying to one-up themselves. And that was the nightmare for a big guy like me in SEAL team, was the PTs that we would do every day, because it was always done by someone who was better suited than me. When you're over 200 pounds in SEAL team, you're called a sea cow. And those guys would always try to one-up and do something. It was just insanity. I'm broken now at 58. I'm like an old man around walking around here from the punishment. But you did pay you had a for you folks in Tucson, one of your commercials was for the Trident Bar and Grill. And that's from a SEAL buddy of mine, Nelson Miller, is there. Nelson is a very gifted SEAL. If guys can get down and see his bar. That guy's had a lot of angry bullets shot at him, and he runs that bar. Good guy.
Nelson is one of my favorite people, and you know, maybe it talks to what we're speaking about today, Don. You know, Nelson, he's not one of those guys that, I mean, yeah, if you go into Trident, you see some stuff on the wall, but he doesn't brag about it. He doesn't talk about it. He in fact, I consider him one of my closest friends, and we've never talked about just one mission, the mission where he was part of the team that went in to get Jessica Lynch. But he just doesn't talk about it. So he's Don, tell me about the reverse or the opposite of a Nelson Miller or a Don Shipley out there. And what is, I mean, we've had guys that claim to have earned two medals of honor. I'm sorry. No.
Okay. It's really simple. When I meet you somewhere, I'm not going to avoid telling you I was a SEAL, but it's going to take you about five questions if we meet in a bar over a beer. You know, you'll ask, well, what do you do? Well, I'm retired. Oh, retired from what? I'm retired from the Navy. Oh, what ship were you on? Well, I wasn't on a ship. Oh, where were you stationed? I was in Little Well, what'd you do? Well, I was a SEAL. Phonies are going to come up and extend their hand immediately. They always wear those big obnoxious hats. And, you know, this goes for the Marines, the Army, anybody. And they're going to start telling you these insane war stories, crazy things, and just a SEAL, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I get these verifications. He never shuts up about being a SEAL. He tells everyone as soon as they come into my stories, SEAL. And, SEALs don't do that. We don't avoid it, but we don't like the reaction we get. Nelson does not like the reaction he gets from people when they find out he's a SEAL, because it's they go a little bit nutty about it. Oh, my gosh, you're a SEAL. Don't kill me. And we don't like that. And sometimes when you do the SEAL thing and you're trying to explain to people about it, you know, when you're jumping out of airplanes at night, you know, and you know, the guns and the camouflage paint and locking out of submarines, it makes you sound a little bit arrogant that you did those things. And you don't like one-upping other people that live a regular life. You don't want to start into that. But those phonies don't care. And,
Don, this is maybe asking you know what your favorite vodka is or what your favorite child is. So are there some of the folks that you've interacted with that just really jump out? I mean, to me, A.J. Dickon gets the crown, or if Dickens, whatever his name was, for the biggest fraud out there. But Bob McDaniel, you had a pastor somewhere that was telling his flock he's a Navy SEAL. Are there some that jump out at you more than others over the course of your time doing this?
It's the ones that make me work the hardest, and that was certainly A.J. Dickon. It took me 3 years to unravel him. He was such a gifted liar, and by A.J.'s own admission, he'd been doing that for 35 years, telling people he was this insanely decorated Navy SEAL, and AJ never served a day in the military, but AJ built two doctors and 16 African nations out of $400 million. And I would talk to those doctors. It's a very strange story. They could hear that. And I'd say, Doc, he's lying. He is lying to you. He never did that. I'm a SEAL. Look me up. I'm trying to save your career and your hospitals in Africa from that terrible, despicable fraud who is lying to you. And as soon as I do that, they'd go to AJ and go, this guy's calling you a liar. And AJ would go, oh, I threw him out of SEAL Team 6 for being a coward. And then they wouldn't take my calls. And then when I'd get through, they'd go, oh, we heard all about you being a coward at SEAL Team 6. And I'd go, my God, Doc, are you listening to yourself? You know, and even when the Inside Edition, I sick media on people sometimes when I have trouble with them. I sicked Inside Edition and ABC in San Francisco on Dick. And Inside Edition went to the African delegates at the United Nations, and they threw them out, saying this was above your security clearance. A.J. Dickens is this secret ninja assassin guy. Get out of here. You don't have the clearance to be here. And finally, it unraveled on A.J. And
It unraveled that they were, as I recall from seeing the videos, Don, he and some of these other civilians he'd, talked into working for him, they're somewhere in Africa, deep, dark Africa, and folks are starting to say, wait a minute, this is not happening, and the lights go out, and according to the story, AJ, let's just say he did not exemplify a reaction one would expect from a SEAL, or frankly, from a Boy Scout.
Well, he did up to that point. Africa caught up with AJ. Other than that, he was big. He had a commanding presence. He was very good verbally and vocally and convincing people because, you know, when you start learning a career of bridge building, you're no good at it, but you get better. And 35 years later, you are one heck of a bridge builder. And that was what AJ, they get so good in narcissists and sociopaths. This is what these guys are. By and large, they don't mind. If you and I get caught in a lie, and most people, we just want to hide under the bed in shame. We're so embarrassed, but not a phony. He learns from that. He goes back and he goes, okay, I won't tell that one again. And they move on. They better their stories until they're absolutely perfect. And it's so hard to convince people. Bill Brockbrader was another one, that these guys are so good. And some of these Nigerian scams that they're all claiming to be SEALs, they're so perfected and polished that people – they don't believe me.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one that's the phony because he said so. And then a bunch of them, it happened again to me a couple of days ago. A father, the daughter of this guy was getting married. He contacted me back and he said, did you talk to him? And I said, no, I've never spoken to the guy. He said, oh, he said that you called him and you guys worked it all out and had a big laugh at the mistake that was made. And I said, listen, you tell that phony from me. You know, I've had about enough of him. I'm going to drive down there and knock a couple of his teeth out or something. But it's constant lies. And, the fathers, the wives, the girlfriends, mortgages, bank accounts, and they bleed a lot of people dry and break a lot of hearts, man. It's really saddening for a lot of people when you're duped.
Don, and I tell you, one thing that I've observed from watching your videos and following you, you and Diane, you're not bullies. I mean, you're giving these folks the chance to just confess and end it. And
yeah.
And that's okay. And I really appreciate that, sir. I tell you what, when we come back, I want to talk more about, unless there's some other great stories you want to tell us, our listeners love stories, but I want to spend some time talking about the good things you're doing for kids with cancer and veterans and some of your other charitable work, if that's okay with you, sir.
Goose hunting, man. So that's what we do up here. Take the vets and the kids goose and duck hunting. So sure.
Okay, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're very, very pleased. I tell you what, one of my top draft picks, someone I've wanted to chat with a long time, Don Shipley. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Thrilled to have Don Shipley on. I've been doing this show for going on 8 years, and I've always wanted Don on, and thankfully he's joining us today. Don, I've got another co-host who just stepped in. I want you guys to chat for a second, but let me sort of introduce this segment by tell us about Lee Samblinette, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I could talk about that kid all day long. He was lived in Ohio and was playing baseball and fell over, and the whole front of his head was eaten away by cancer. You could have pushed your fingers into his brain. They never knew it. And terminal. He fought that thing like a champ for years and years and years. Just a terrible experience. Me, until recently, both my parents were alive. I've never had a birth defect in the family. None of my siblings have been in jail. All the grandkids and nephews and uncles on both sides of the family are just healthy. And it destroys me, because anybody gets through SEAL training in the Navy is lucky. You're lucky you were gifted with intelligence and great eyesight and just physical. You don't get sick, everything about it. And, when a little boy or a little girl gets cancer, that just destroys me. And that was with Lee. So Lee came Make-A-Wish. His Make-A-Wish was through that wonderful foundation was to be a SEAL for a day. And they nominated me because I was just like that in SEAL team. I was I could do anything, and I just really didn't care. And when I asked them how long this was going to be, they said, oh, you could do it for an hour, you could do it for a day. I said, I'll take it for a week. And we shot every gun in the arsenal. He did all this insane hand-to-hand combat training. He was a teenager at that point. And all the demolitions, all the breaching. I should have gone to the brig, flying him tethered underneath a helicopter. And the last day, we threw him out of an airplane at 13,000 feet. And he finally just had enough. He'd been dealing with that for years, and he told his mom, I'm done with it. And then he passed. So I was very lucky to have known him. I went up and gave his eulogy in Ohio. And
And as I understand it, Don, he asked to be buried in his camis and his honorary SEAL trident that he earned from that time with you.
Yeah, we with very special circumstances, we make people honorary SEALs. It's very rare.
Don, I want to talk more about ExtremeSealAdventures.org. Folks, look it up. And joining me to help fill that gap is a guy who I know, Eb Wilkinson. He hosts the co-hosts the show after me. I know he's a Marine because he just took the clippers to my hair about 2 days ago. And this guy actually, has heard of you, Don. Eb?
Hey, Don, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine, Devil Dog.
Yeah, you don't remember me. We shoot at the Grand National Waterfowl Association.
Oh, well, I love that organization. Unfortunately, this COVID has put it down this year.
I know.
Did you just get
the note on that? Just came out last week.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah, so I'm on the past shooter committee, and we're looking forward to a great next year.
Good. I would love to have some input in that, and that's why we moved to Maryland. We got invited. The president saw my YouTube videos, invited us up. My wife and I were the toast up here, and all the great duck and goose hunting and the wonderful charity. And we went home and sold everything, and here we are now. And I proudly support that every year. So
that's great. Well, I will probably find my way up there this November anyway to do some duck hunting. And if I do, I look forward to seeing you.
You've got to get over here.
I'll do that.
Don, we got about 3 minutes left. I wanted to make sure Eb could say hi. You guys could, you're of like mind. But tell us a little bit more about Warriors Rest. And you're doing this for kids with cancer and veterans, correct?
Well, my wife and I have been, very lucky. We work so well together as a team. The video website is where we butter our bread, and it's the cooking shows and me and her live streaming and fishing and hunting and the Wounded Warriors and everything. I make all the videos myself and the Phony SEALs as well, and it pays the bills. But we had always wanted to give back a little bit more, and we bought a beautiful farm right on. I'm overlooking. I'm looking at the water. I mean, 50 yards here is the beautiful Chesapeake Bay. Our fishing poles are ready for some more striper fishing tonight. And the entire farm, unlike I don't depend on crops for a living. Everything that's planted here is for the waterfowl and the deer and the turkeys and it's just a great place. And we have this huge barn here, big old red barn, just like you'd think of any barn. But upstairs is this beautiful four-bedroom furnished apartment, stove, washer, dryer. And we host the guys, and they can get away from us down there in the nice warm cabin in the winter and air conditioned in the summer and swim in the pool, jet ski, boat. And I just take them hunting. I just take them out for the best goose and duck hunting. And this town in Maryland, Cambridge, Maryland, they will pull your arm off to the other farmers and landowners for these wounded guys. Patriotic beyond words. So if I'm running out of birds down here, there's always another guy I can call, and he gladly take those guys. So the kids and the veterans come down, and they just have a great hunt. We're not trying to cure PTSD or anything here in the 4 or 5 days they're here, but just relax, have a beer, shoot some ducks, shoot some geese. We do a good job.
Don, I tell you what, I truly appreciate everything you do. I love Diane's recipes. One quick question, and then I'll let you do the close. We're down to about 1 minute. Sir, I would love to see sometime a new website with Don Shipley's hair care products. I mean, guy, your hair is bulletproof.
My grandfather died with every hair he was born with. And, you know, I've done everything I can to convince people it's not a toupee. Diane pulling it, to wetting it, to combing it, parting it, everything. But, yeah, I'm very fortunate. It's like a beaver pelt. It repels water. It's just, you know, it keeps me warm in the wintertime. And I don't know. I'm going bald in the back of my neck, and it's my hairline is receding down toward my face. I'm going to look like one of those wolf kids sooner or later. But thanks for noticing. It's just good genes, I guess.
And remind us again, Don, where folks can find out more. I mentioned extremesealadventures.org. Where else can they look for you?
Well, that's the charity. We started the training thing, the charity, but the videos.extremesealexperience.com, phonyseals.com, fake videos, fake seal videos.
Thank you so much, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast and others can be found at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.